Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the February 2022 online Midwinter Home Education Conference.
Okay, so we're going to be discussing every family is busy, but are we busy building character? It's something that I've been put in a unique situation, which I'll discuss in a second, but it's something that I'm really, really digging into because it is so important that we are building character and that we understand how to build it. And I'm kind of an upfront guy. I'm kind of what's called a military bluff, bottom line up front. And the bottom line up front is that character is developed on a day-to-day basis in everything we do. And if nothing else, that is the key for all of it. The rest of you can kind of go to sleep if you want to, but that is the number one key. It's built every single day. We're going to discuss how to do it, how to improve if you are doing it, and how to get started if you just need a little help to get kickstarted. But before we jump into that, I'm not sure if you saw that I mentioned, this is my favorite meme on the internet right now. I love it. Life is like flying on a helicopter. And I put this on the Facebook page the other day. And when I saw this, I just laughed my head off because it is like flying a helicopter. But the thing is, I have no idea how to fly a helicopter. Life can be really, really hard and life can be confusing. I did not personally get a instruction manual when I got my kids. I've had to kind of create my own. I read other people's ideas and thoughts, but it is like trying to fly a helicopter. There's a lot of buttons. There's a lot of these things going around that I'm just working my way through. And when I started putting this slide deck together, I made some assumptions about each and every one of you, and as well as me, and just kind of what we need to talk about. First, I want to express, I really appreciate you being here. I love that you're here working on yourself and working on your family and working on your kids and trying to do better and by them and for them. I suspect, like you and I, that you might feel that sometimes you're failing and sometimes you're messing up and sometimes you are, but overall, I know you're winning because you're here and you're listening and you're doing the best you can. And that means you are winning in the end. And I have to say this because of the job that I do right now, if you have kids that are going astray that you feel like are not fully developing the character you want them to do, or they're just struggling, guess what? That group of kids that fell include Adam, Lehi, Alma, almost every prophet that we know of, and even the most perfect father, who is God, had children fall away. And so if you're having a hard time, guess what? Welcome to the club. It stinks and it's hard, but it's just where we are in this fallen state on this earth. What I'd like you to do is I'd love for you to introduce yourself in the chat. Where are you from? How many kids do you have that you're homeschooling? How long have you been homeschooling? What is your greatest strength in homeschooling? And of course, what is your greatest weakness? I'm just gonna tell you, I'm gonna read those comments as you put them in, but I made some assumptions, like I mentioned before. I made this assumption when I put this together that you are a lot like my wife and I. You are probably middle class-ish and you are professional. There's probably a bachelor's degree or two, maybe even a master's degree in your family. You probably have multiple kids. And like us, every day is just a struggle and it's a victory. And sometimes you don't know what you're going to get. As far as who I am. Again, my name is Justin Zufelt. I'm married to my lovely spouse, Leilani Zufelt. And I am currently a chaplain for the United States Army. I am stationed in South Carolina at Fort Jackson. And where I am is I actually help train our newest soldiers. So I have soldiers coming from all over the world. And I didn't say United States, and as you know, the United States military is, we are built with every nation. I have Russians, Yugoslavians, I have Nigerians, I have Puerto Ricans, and I mean, you name it, you name the country, and I probably have trained a few of them at least at this point. And it's amazing to see the things that I'm able to witness. As you can tell, my family loves to do things outdoors. We love the beach. We were so excited when we came here to South Carolina because we're only an hour and a half away-ish from the beach. And oh my goodness, we love it. There's some awesome fishing out here. We love to rappel. And we bought our house specifically. I tell you what, the house is nice, but my kids, when we looked in the backyard and we saw there was a pizza oven in this house we purchased here, it was a done deal. There's nothing else we're gonna do. We were gonna have an outdoor pizza oven, which we use as much as we can. And that's my family. We have six awesome kids. My oldest is 17. We just launched him. He launched when he was 16. It's been a really, really hard thing in our life. We sent him back to Utah. He's going to school, he's working, he's doing sports, he's going on dates and everything. And on a daily basis, I'm waiting for him to call me and say, Dad, like, I need your help. And he doesn't. In fact, when we call him on the phone, he's just like, look, I got it. We're good. I'm good. It's hard as a parent to let someone to launch a kid. And I can't believe I get to do this five more times. I know it's not going to be like this every time, but it has been a difficult process. But at the same time, I'm so grateful that he's turned out the way he is. He's an amazing young man. His name is Kyle. And all my kids are of course amazing, but he's the one I'm missing right now the most. So I like to mention him. So as I mentioned before, with homeschooling, this is what we want. You know, we want the walk through the forest. We want the holding hands with our family and all is hunky-dory and all is good and all is well and no problems. But then what happens is that we have the days where we feel more like a bomb technician. And we're sitting there cutting the wires. We're sitting close. We're trying to cut the wires. And we're just waiting for the bomb to go off. The emotional spewing, the ranting, the raving, the gnashing of teeth. And this is so often how our homeschooling is going. And it can be so frustrating because if we take it personally, or we look at it wrong, we start thinking, oh my goodness, their character is wrong. There's something wrong with their character. And that's what we're going to discuss. Hold on, let me see. There's, okay, Alan, Japan, six children. Oh my goodness, four home. Our homeschooling strength. Oh, amen. North Carolina, seven kids. Oh my gosh, 17 to seven. Oh, you're so close. We should get together. That is awesome. Weakness, structure, getting, amen. It is hard to have structure in the family. Family fun is strength. Amen. Isn't that funny? Like, fun is easy sometimes to have, and other times it's not. It's funny. Let's see. Six kiddos. Oh my goodness, are we all the same in this? This is awesome. Four at home. My faith in my God, my Lord. Maybe some art skills. Weakness. Sometimes I get frustrated, angry, and amen. We all get frustrated. We all have a hard time, and I'm so grateful for you as saying that and admitting to it because we all do it. In fact, we in our family, we went into a yelling fast. I know it's hard to admit that and say that loud, but we're doing a yelling fast where as parents, we have not yelled at our children, like, and even like calling down to do something, we will calmly go get them to come down to dinner or to prayer or something like that. Having a young child, our youngest is almost two. And having him, and we were yelling at kids to come down, eat, and stuff like that. All of a sudden, he started yelling, just randomly yelling. And it was like, oh, goodness, we got to change something in our house. And so that was one thing my wife and I have done. We've gone on a yelling fast. It's four kiddos, 16 to 7. That was Jennifer. Thank you. Peace between everyone. Yes. Yes. Especially if you have those at that age group of kids. I read the book, You Want to Raise a Boy. And it was so funny because Cleon Scouse was talking about his 10-year-old and how so crazy it is when the boy hits 10 years old. And I'm going through that right now. He's 12 and I love him to death. And it's so hard. And it's because it's just like, I look at his personality and I want to attribute the character as his personality, but it's hard not to do that. Okay, four kids, 9 to 15. Who's this? Tina, Arizona. I love Arizona. I want to do everything and have a hard time saying no. Oh my goodness. Yes. I'm saying yes, because it's like, yes, I understand. Especially when you're in a place really new, like we want to go see everything everywhere all the time. And it's hard. It's hard to say no. Because sometimes I think generally as a guy, for me personally, I don't want to say no, because I feel like if I say no, I'm failing my children. Like I've hurt them. I've said no, and I can't say that, but we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes too. Kansas City. I love Kansas City. The airport there is awesome. It's so easy to get through. Socializing outside the family, it is hard. We live in South Carolina, and especially if you're looking for certain groups, it is hard to socialize. And I might try to add a part onto that later on in the presentation, because I've had to deal with that. And I know in Kansas City, you've done a lot more than me. You have 8 children. But I hope I can offer some advice, maybe. Okay, so bombs going off. You guys are awesome. You guys are such a wealth of information. And I'm going to be honest with you. I went like 1,000 different directions, because what I did is I tried to take what I see with these kids that are coming in for basic training, as well as a police officer. Did I mention that? I'm sorry. I was a police officer for 8 years. I was on the SWAT team. I've been a federal agent. I've been I've worked DHS, DOD. I've worked through all the 3 letters. I've done a lot of cool things like that. And as I've walked through life dealing with people that are struggling and succeeding, I've noticed a lot of themes. And that's where I've kind of tried to dig up some evidence as well as tools to deal with those specific issues. And so I'm gonna go in about 10 different directions. And on the very end, I hope to wrap it up all in the same nice little platter. But that's where we're gonna go. So, okay, what is character? So I went to dictionary.com, because that's what we all do. I went to Google with dictionary.com. It's an aggregate of features and traits that form the individual nature of some person. One such feature or trait, characteristic. And I'm reading it that way because it's a boring definition of character, and I hate it. But we're homeschoolers, so we do better. So I went to the 1828 Webster Dictionary, and this says, I look at the words, it's amazing, right? I love being a homeschooler. I love what we do. I love what we dig in deeper and harder on so many things. And look at this. 1828, the peculiar qualities impressed by nature or habit on a person, which distinguish him from others, these constitute real character, and the qualities which, I added the S for she or he, is supposed to possess, constitute this estimated character or reputation. Hence we say, a character is not formed when the person has not acquired stable and distinctive qualities. Is that amazing? Like, that is incredible how beautiful they even made that sound. But that you are supposed to possess the characters and qualities. And in fact, a person doesn't have the character when a person has not acquired the stable and distinctive quality. So when we look around, as I've looked around at my kids coming in, I'm talking 17-year-old kids coming into basic training, and some are just rocking it and some are awesome. And then you have these, I have 40-year-olds coming in, and I'm like, you have not developed those characters. You're not formed yet, and you've not acquired the stable and distinctive qualities. And it makes such a difference with trainees as they come in. And so when soldiers come into basic training, we call them trainees. When they graduate from basic training, that we call them basic soldiers. So if I say the word trainees, I might use it intermixedly, but I usually refer to them as trainees, just so you know what the difference is. Character versus personality. So as I said before, I have a hard time mixing personality characters together. There's personality is so easy to find. It's so easy to identify people with. We run into people all the time, and immediately we'll say, okay, that, you know, I like that person. I don't like that person, or you know, that there's something wrong or some good. And you judge that person pretty quick based on their personality. And that's just the surface level. The hard part with character is it's so much deeper. It takes so much more time to discover someone's character. And that's because character doesn't come out all the time. In fact, it normally comes out during a difficult situation. If you look at the last two sentences of Lichterman's 2011's comment, this says, character, on the other hand, takes far longer to puzzle together. It includes traits that reveal themselves only in specific and often uncommon circumstances. Traits like honesty, virtue, and kindness. So as our kids kind of wander through and do things, we can get frustrated with them, but we need to be mindful, cognitive of the idea or the fact that we might be just dealing with a personality issue, not necessarily a character issue. And as you all know, you've heard a thousand times, the kids don't develop their brains until like 25, and we all see it all the time. And so they're still developing their character their entire life, but especially when they're young. And most of the time when we see issues, we're probably going to see personality issues, not necessarily character issues. Those are deeper, they're exposed a lot less. And so it's harder to keep tabs of where they are all the time, but that's something to be mindful of. So why does character matter? I love this. I believe this was Kimball. I could be mistaken, but day by day, hour by hour, man builds the character that will determine his place and standing among his associates throughout the ages. More important than riches, more enduring than fame, more precious than happiness is the possession of a noble character. Truly, it has been said that the grand aim of man's creation is the development of a grand character. And grand character is by its very nature, the product of a probationary discipline. Now, I love this because you think about it, we're talking about probationary discipline, that we develop our character here on earth. We are put here on this earth right now to develop the very nature. And what nature is that? Of course, if we go to the next one. This is David O. McKay. Man's chief concern in life should not be to acquiring gold or fame or material possessions. It should not be to the development of physical prowess, nor the intellectual strength, but his aim, the highest of life, should be the development of a Christ-like character. Now, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, if you're in here and you're of that faith tradition, then guess what? We have that specific feeling and desire to make that ultimate goal, to have a Christ-like character. In fact, we believe that's why we're put here on earth, is to develop that character so we can be like God later on. And so this is the foundation I want to lay. What is character? Because I know if we don't stand on the same definition, then we're probably on the different parts of the map. And so I want to really start there on the foundation. What is character? And why does it matter? And next, as I discussed before, I have ran into so many people. I've arrested so many people. I've dealt with so many people. I've investigated so many people. I've trained and counseled and dealt with suicidal ideations and anxiety and depression and all these other things of individuals. And I look at them, and some I are given everything. They come in with a silver spoon. They have everything, give like the perfect life. They did sports and they had all the intellectual opportunities in their life. But when it came down, when I put them in basic training, and all of a sudden they fall apart and they leave within the first couple of weeks, it's like, what the heck is going on? But then I have a kid come in who comes with a home that's broken and drug ridden and alcohol. It's just such a terrible life. But they come in and they just rock it. And their character shines through when it's exposed. And it just really bothered me. Like, why is that? What is going on? Like, because I look at my family and I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to give them everything. But I look at that situation with these kids that are struggling. And it's like, I'm not going to go put my kids in a drug house or anything. But man, these kids come in, they're tough. And they have character. They have a foundation that is incredible. And so I should really start to analyze what's the similarities that's going on and what are the differences, right? Other than material. And if you look at the very deep, what is different about that? So evidence of missing character. In the military, we have a program. It's just getting off the ground. It's called H2F. The program focuses on individuals' mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional health. And as a chaplain in the Army, my job obviously is the spiritual. I help the other stuff. My job is to focus on the spiritual well-being. And give it to the military, because what do we do in the military? We actually think we can give an assessment and give you a score of your spiritual health. And then if you're good and spiritual, they have a high score. If you're not good, then you'll have a low score. And I get the opportunity to conduct this program. And it's like the government, right? Everything has to be measured. And so this assessment is what the one I just gave you just a couple minutes ago. If you came in and you took that assessment, we're gonna look at the results. It's the same questions. Now, I couldn't use their program, obviously. The military spent a crazy amount of money using that to develop the program. I did pull the questions, They're actually the old questions. The military just spent an unheard of number on developing new questions. But I'm going to go over the results in just a second with you. But when it comes to our youth, when they come in, I'm seeing some general guidelines, or not guidelines, but just general, oh my goodness, what's the right word? General ideas or strengths. I'll just say strengths and weaknesses. I'll just go there since I wrote that down. So strengths, when the youth come in, they're generally comfortable with the direction of their life. They just made a big change to their life coming in the military. They generally, when they first start, they feel pretty good about it. They feel good about their choice. Even though they're getting a difficulty, they're holding on fast that they made a good choice. They find purpose in their working environment because they're being pushed and they're doing hard things. Their role in the Army, again, is just kind of, they feel like the Army is a good thing for them. It's going to help them with their purpose in life. Being of service to others, a lot of these kids we come in have never served other people in a, like, members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints do. This is the first time they've actually ever done things that would be considered selfless in the general terms. And I work to maintain positive, growing, and professional relations with those I work with. And that's because they have to. They get in, the kids come in to basic training, they really want to do better. Okay, so weaknesses, this is where we as parents can do better. This is, I'm telling you right now, this is across thousands and thousands. We do 76,000 trainees or basic trainees, soldiers eventually in the military every year. And this H2F is being used across the board. So I'm giving this, I'm giving you a very swath. We're talking about every religion, every belief, or every non-religion. When I talk about these weaknesses, it's because it is wide. This is what we're coming in with. So when you're talking to your kids, when you work with your kids, I really want you to look at these weaknesses and like, okay, what can I do better? I believe my life has value, meaning, and purpose. It is mind-boggling how many kids come in and they don't have. I mean, even I'm a chaplain for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I deal with our Latter-day Saint member or trainees when they come in. And this is very common that they don't have a sense of value. They don't have a sense of meaning. They don't have a sense of purpose. Even though they join the military, they look at other kids' lives, whether it's on social media or you turn on the social media, and they look at other kids' lives and they feel like if they don't do the crazy exciting trips or they're not jumping off some major thing or creating some million-dollar business, then their life just doesn't have meaning and purpose. And this is something you as parents, we can all do better, including me. We can do better helping them find that value, find that meaning, and find that purpose. I'm comfortable with who I am. I have three girls, and my boys, of course, have this issue, but I'm telling you right now, as if you have girls, I know you mentioned you have kids before, but if you have girls, if you'll give me a thumbs up or a yes, or if you're struggling with this, are they comfortable with who they are? As my children have gone through, my girls, my oldest is getting up there. She's getting to that point where she's meeting boys and schools and all this other stuff and dances. In fact, there's a dance this weekend. And this is one we've really had to work with if they're comfortable with who they are. And again, this is a character feature. We have to do better. We see who commented. Not super comfortable. Yes, Nancy, thank you for commenting. Amen. It is hard. And this is something that as parents, we need to do better on. We need to dig into that. My girls definitely struggle in this area. Yes, one who struggles. And Tina, with you having a girl that is doing well, I suspect, when I even said this way, so when I built this, I'm like, I bet everyone in this room could probably build this much better than me because you all are such a vast wealth of knowledge, and I appreciate it. Thank you for sharing. It is hard, but we need to do better. We need to find worth, and that is, I'm going to just dig in a little bit, but we need to tell them who they really are, right? We need to remind them who they truly are, who they truly belong to. Yes, they're our children, but whose children are they really? I feel respected, and of course, these are trainees come to basic training. They don't feel respected. They're being yelled at, cussed at, and everything else. It's pretty harsh environment. So that's not to do with their nature in general. That's just due to their situation in basic training. I have the ability to exercise control over things in my life. So when I first had this one, when trainees came in, I thought this was just because they lost control in basic training. However, as I've counseled and worked with kids, what I discovered is that that's not true. Our youth are really having a hard time controlling or exercising control in their life. they're having problems with their appetites, they're having problems with their desires and needs, they're having problems managing and exercising control in almost every aspect of their life. And so as you're looking to build, develop character, you need to help them build walls, build guidelines, build what I'm looking for. That's not, those are all the wrong words. We just build guidelines in our life of how to exercise control, how to recognize the need to. And I'm connected to a religious support community. And this is huge. I'm telling you right now, this is huge. Especially these last 2 years, our kids have been struggling so hard because they've left church. They've all been kicked out in some aspect. Church has really failed us. I'm all of them. I'm sorry to say. I'm just saying out loud. They failed us during the pandemic. A lot of our youth, I'm telling you, they're telling me every day. I know church isn't important because when it was time, when the struggle really hit, the church left me. They wouldn't let me come in the building. My pastor left. My preacher left. My imam left. They wouldn't talk to me. We have done some harm to our youth, and they're feeling it. They have lost the connection to their religious support community, and they're looking other places now. So as if you're a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, I hope you saw that letter today, how they opened up their takeaway masks and stuff like that. It was a newsletter. But even just, it was like a couple of weeks ago, there was a steak dance for us, and it was shut down because of COVID. And I was livid because all these kids went out and all these kids got lost doing other things, finding happiness and everything in other places. So there's something we need to be mindful of as parents. Okay, so these are what you responded. Well, these are parents, so this is awesome. Okay, I'm actually engaged in growing and development. Awesome. I believe my life has value. I'm actually engaged in finding ways to add value, meaning, and purpose to my life. My spiritual and religious influence who I am. I'm comfortable with who I am. I am fully connected with my family and friends. And from what I've seen, being on the East Coast, this is a common theme for the members I talk to, the people I talk to. It is really hard to stay connected because most of us on the East Coast have left our families, wherever they were. And so this is a hardship I know we all struggle with. I'm happy with my current family situation. I have a network of family and friends who I can turn to for help. In adversity, what I'm wanting you to see, I want you, all of you, you see this. We all have our little struggles. We all have these little things we're working on. I work and maintain positive growing professional relationships. I have the ability to cope with adversity. I believe I have the resiliency skills to bounce back from adversity. I look for ways to personally and professionally grow. My purpose and fulfillment in my current work environment. I feel like a respected member of a team in my current working environment. I have the ability to exercise control over things in my life with that 33%. I'm able to handle guilt and shame. Okay, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. 55%. And it is so common. It is so, so common to have this response. And this is personally that I have worked and dealt and been struggling with my entire life. And it's because of how we were raised, which we're going to talk about in just a couple minutes. Am I connected to religious support community? I hope so. My role at work is helping me fulfill my purpose and being of service to others. And of course, if you're a member of a religion, service is a really important part. So 55% on the guilt and shame, which we'll talk about, 33% on exercise control over things in my life. It's very common. I can get these two. Yeah. I work to maintain positive growing in professional relationships I work with and a network of family. So, another 22%. So as you can see, these are pretty common responses. Now they're a lot higher than why I have these young trainees coming in. They struggle and they have some hard things, but so do we as parents. And I recognize, and I hope each and every one of you see, like, hey, you know what? I got this. I got this because I know people are struggling. I know everyone's struggling. And I truly appreciate you filling that out, because now we're going to talk about what happens. Okay, so when I bring basic trainees in, when we bring them in, what we do is we tear their house of life down. We tear all of it down. Not just a little bit. It's not just a little shifted. There's not just paintings knocked off the walls. It's not just unpainted. No, we really pull it down. We pull the walls down. We pull the ceiling down. We pull the sinks out. And this is what's left in our trainee's life. It's a foundation. And we expose it. We take the wood away. We take all of it away. And what we view and what we see is the very foundation of who they are. Everything's been taken away from them. Their friends, their family's been taken away. Their choice of when to sleep, when to eat, when to shower, when to go to the bathroom, when to drink, when to not drink. The demand, the physical demand on them, everything in their life has been turned upside down and removed. All choices have been removed. We expose the very foundation, as I said, of who they are. And it is eye-opening. It is incredible to see these kids just have everything taken away. And we have some reactions, right? Of course, we're going to have some reactions. Let's talk about the reactions. So the reactions we have is it's the grief cycle. We see the grief cycle. Now, all of us go through the grief cycle. Your kids are going through the grief cycle. You're going through the grief cycle. And every change in your life, it's been shown that we go through this. We go through this grief cycle. There's shock, there's denial, anger, bargaining, depression, testing, and acceptance. We all do it, and they all do it. And so I will have the first week kids come up and say, I am depressed, and I'm going to kill myself. I say, well, okay. What are they really trying to do? They're trying to take back their choice. Once they're like, hey, if you tell me I'm suicidal, then I can make choices. We discuss things, we work things out. We have people that are youth. We have trainees come in and they are going through. They're going through the shock. They're going through the denial. They're going through the anger, bargaining, depression. They're going through all of these things, and it's cycling through. And if you know anything about the grief cycle, it's not just a straight linear line. In fact, it's usually bouncing back and forth. They can jump them. They can go back. They can hit acceptance even and go right back down to shock and start all over again. And so as you're dealing with your youth, again, the personalities and stuff like this, if you're having problems and you think, oh, their character's bad, no, it's look, has there been any changes in their life? What has happened to them? And you can look at this. Okay, are they depressed? Okay, has something changed their life? And we moved here to South Carolina just in September. And it's something that we have, my kids, we've had to be very mindful of. They've been bargaining to go back to Utah and do other things. They've been angry. They've had denial. We've had a couple go through the depression. We're having two of them right now doing the testing. And we have two of them that have accepted it. And the third one that of course went back to Utah. But we see this all the time, especially with change. And with trainees, it is a mad cycle. We have 1,200 trainees going through this at the same time. It's a madhouse. And it's just amazing to see that foundation and where they finally land and see if they have the strength to keep going and to drive on. Okay, so of course, we go back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I love Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It is something that I have relied on and leaned on. And when I show kids or youth or trainees this right here, and I think easier on parents, when I show parents, we forget about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Now, in basic training, we just knock out the middle three. We take away their esteem. We call these kids things that's very, very difficult to take. There's no love and there's no belonging. We take it all away, and they have to rely on themselves, and eventually they rely on each other. But they do not feel love anymore, and they do not feel belonging. They no longer have self-esteem. And safety is there. We discuss safety, but at the same time, when you're being yelled at, screamed at, and told to do physical activities that hurt you and that really are not comfortable, that safety tends to be kind of gone as well. So it's the foundation. We just lay them on their foundation. We have them air, water, food, shelter, sleep, clothing, and the shelter's good. Sleep is terrible. It's only about 4 to 5 hours. The clothing is given to them, so we're going to get a choice in that. The food is terrible. It's military food. And the water, I tell you what, this back east water, I'm still trying to get used to it. South Carolina water is really hard to get used to. But we tear it all down. And this is, and again, this is something that your youth, your kids go through. When you're having a problem, pull up Maslow's, pull up the grief cycle and start looking at where they are. Okay, do they have these things? Do they feel personally secure? Do they have employment? Are they able to earn money? Do they have friendship? Do they have intimacy? Do they have family, sense of connection? Do they have respect? Do they have self-esteem? And you can start identifying, okay, I got the first one down. They have food, water, shelter. Awesome. They have clothing. Of course, they want better clothing or whatever, the newest shoes, but too bad for them. They can go earn that. Okay, and what's next? And you work your way up this Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you're going to find a huge shift in your kids, because all of a sudden, as they feel the comfort of that foundation below them, they can take that step up. And it's the same in your life and my life. I always go, I continually go back to this, and I reassess where I am personally, as my family, as my marriage as well. Something else that I've discovered is the home, is not discovered, but discovered with the trainees, is homeostasis. Homeostasis is something, if you guys know about homeostasis, think about like a hose or a pipe. It's an emotional and physical attribute where emotionally and emotionally, our mind tries to keep us feeling good. So they're inside that pipe. We'll go up and down. You'll kind of go to the, you know, maybe go a little bit higher, and then you'll go lower. So you, the top is like your happiness level. The bottom is kind of where you start going to depression. So excitement above and sadness or depression, if you're really started low. And so when the trainees come in, we're finding that kids are really having a hard time maintaining or coming back to homeostasis, because when they come in, they're having sleep deprivation, they're having conflict in their new environment, stress, mental stress, spiritual stress, moral stress, they're yelled at. So we have two major things. So if they come in and they're not able to maintain their homeostasis, if they get it too excited or stimulated, what we have is they get into fights, they have different types of misconduct, they have failure to adapt because they're so excited they can't bring themselves down to homeostasis where they feel comfortable. And they can't adapt to what's going on around them. And I'll go to the next one. I'll go back to my thought right there. And the other one is they feel overwhelmed. If they drop below their homeostasis and they can't self-correct and they can't bring themselves back to normal homeostasis, what we have is they go into an emotional slump. And that's where we get depression, anxiety, mental blocks, and indecision. And these kids really struggle, because then we really do have to worry about suicidal ideation. We really do have to worry about depression. We really do have to worry about what they're going to do themselves and others. In fact, just yesterday, there was one of my really good chaplain friends. He went up and he had to do a briefing on a suicide here, basically. And so what we're finding is our kids are not able, or they're not being trained, don't have the character to learn how to maintain their homeostasis. Now, I'm going to just kind of jump ahead of myself on this one. To do that, you have to be able, or you have to be exposed to uncomfortable situations, both sad and happy. There have to be moments that are very difficult, and so that you have to expose your youth to that. This, of course, controlled, and of course, a good way, but do expose them, put them in uncomfortable situations where they have to find their own way back to homeostasis. And the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we do a really good job, because we get in the leadership positions, we put them up in front of groups talking, we'd have them do service, we do things like that. We have to parents personally take the responsibility to make sure that they are developing the ability to bring it back to homeostasis. Does anyone have questions on that? Any comments, ideas, thoughts, jokes? What do you do to bring it back to homeostasis? That's a great idea. Okay, so you have to help them realize their emotions. I'm going to discuss this in just a couple minutes. Hopefully I don't burn up all my time, but you have to help them get off the hamster wheel, is what I call it. You have to help them stop catastrophizing. You have to help them recognize their emotions, and then you give them tools and techniques to bring themselves back down, which I promise I'm going to get there in the presentation. If not, during the question session, I can jump ahead to those slides. But we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But that's a great question. Yes. How do you get back to homeostasis? And it's something even as parents and as adults, I'm telling you right now, as a police officer in the law enforcement, DOD and DHS, there were a lot of adults that have no idea how to maintain their homeostasis, or their homeostasis it just gets out of whack. Thank you for the question. Okay, so you as parents, you, the military, and this is my favorite definition of a leader, which you as a parent are. You are a leader within with your spouse, or if you're by yourself, you're the leader of the family. The process of influencing people by providing purpose, direction, and motivation while operating to accomplish the mission and improve the organization. So what is the mission and what is the organization? Well, the organization is your family. The mission is life and homeschooling and everything you're doing. Now, are you providing purpose and direction with the motivation? So that means a clear purpose of what are you actually going to work? What are you working on? What are you actually trying? Where are you trying to go? What are you trying to do? How are you going to get there? How are you going to get from their purpose to where they want to go? And you need to lay it out very clear for your kids. Hey, and your spouse, this is what I want to do. This is how I want to get there. And then apply the proper motivation of why you want to do it and what the purpose is and why even do it. In fact, we're going to talk about the three steps of change in just a second. All right. So whether you're married or not married, and I know there's single mothers out there and single fathers out there. So I want to be very clear. This is a team effort. Okay. So whether it's with your teachers or with siblings or with other family members, parents, or something like that. However it is, you have to be on the same boat. And what I mean by that is, are you on the same mind plane? Are you trying to go the same place? If I'm at the same plane even, right? So if I want to go to Hawaii, I'm not going to get on a plane that goes to France. And if my wife wants to go with me, she's not going to get on a plane to France, and I'm not going to go into Hawaii and go in totally different directions. We need to be in the same boat, same plane. This picture of these two together, they actually rode together over 900 miles. And I guarantee you, if they didn't have the same destination in mind, they never would have been able to row that far because they would have been out of sync. And are you rowing together in the same direction? That's why I mentioned them, is because you have to be going in the same direction. You have to be going the same place. You have to be working together. If you've ever been rowing before, been in a canoe, I take my kids every once in a while. We get on there and you start rowing. And if one person's out of sync, all of a sudden you start doing circles, right? You start doing these little weird circles or going the wrong direction. If one's looking towards the shore, the other one's looking towards the lighthouse, y'all got to pick a place to go, and then you can get there much more effectively and efficiently and properly and less time. So work as a team with communication. Don't demand or order like a captain of the ship. Counsel and build a plan that you both agree upon. Use active listening. If you don't know active listening, I beg you, please go get a video on active listening. It's a beautiful tool. It's something I use in marriage counseling. It's something I use in leadership counseling. It's something I use in my family. Active listening is an awesome tool. That has limitations, so know that. But at the same time, please go learn active listening. And remember, no one's the bad guy. Everyone on your team, your family, there's no bad guy. You're all wanting to do the best you can. You have that mentality. So build plan together. So I had the other day, I'm not throwing my wife under a bus. I love her to death. And this is just something that we are working on together. When she comes in, she's struggling with her kid, with her kids. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I said that. That is hilarious. With our kids, my wife comes in, she's like, listen, Justin, I need you to do something with our one of the kids. Like, I need you to take William and take him out on a run or something. And I totally get it, right? I totally get that. But at the same time, what's the ultimate goal? And it's like, and I do it to her the same, honey, I need you to do this with one of our daughters, one of our sons. Because in my mind, I have a certain goal I'm trying to get to. And what I become is a captain of the ship rather than a partner. And so as a couple, you need to be on the same page, same destination. It's okay. So why do you want to take my son on why do you want to take our son on a run? Okay, awesome. Yes, so energy. Okay, so you know what? I my knees hurt, but you know what? I'm going to go play basketball. I'm going to go do a physical activity. Because I'm on the same boat. I'm rowing the same direction. And don't be offended when spouse comes with a different point of view. So there's the police work in military and law enforcement, SWAT team, there's a thing called the law of angles. And so if you go up to a corner, you're about to search a room or enter a room or go around a corner. If you get up really close to the wall, in fact, in the movies you watch, it drives me crazy, they'll lean against the wall. It's like the worst thing in the world when you're trying to do. If you're too close to a corner, look at about the little bottom picture of that little circle my wife made this for me. She's so nice. You can't see anything. It's too close. You have less ability to see around the corner. However, if you step back, you have a greater ability to look around that corner with least exposure or less exposure and less danger to you. So when you step back away from the corner and view it from a longer distance, so a law of angles, you actually see more danger. So it's really easy to peek around a corner and see that little teeny bit that's left of that, like let's say it's a hallway or a room, rather than if you look at the bottom picture, it's really wide angle. You have to expose yourself a lot and you're putting yourself in danger when you do that. So when I come home or when my wife comes home and I'm dealing with a situation, my wife comes in, she sees and she assesses what's going on and she's like more calm or I'm more calm. And I can be really frustrated. It's like, no, you don't understand. It's been so hard. This child's been yelling and screaming for 2 hours. Well, guess what? You're sitting against that wall in the corner or on the corner trying to look around and you're too close at times. And when someone comes in and says, don't listen, I'll just do this. I'm like, and like My wife will come in and she's like a miracle worker. She'll hand the kids something or do something. And all of a sudden they stop crying. It's like awesome. And the learning environment, they're like, oh my gosh, you're so amazing. Well, she came with different angles. She used the law of angles. And you need to do that as well. Be mindful of your law of angles. If you're too close to something, you need to step back. Take a step back, look at it, get a better view, and go from there. And when your spouse comes in or a friend comes in, they have a better angle, be mindful of that and try to work with them. So this, we're talking about the shame. And we were taught with shame. I'll tell you this really, really quick story. I remember I think I was 15. And my teacher came in. We were taught shame-based tools. We were. That's how we were taught. When the teacher came in, she handed us, she handed out suckers, and she took up, she said, okay, go ahead and lick the suckers. We took up tops and we licked it. And then she's like, now hand it around. Well, of course, and she's like, oh, of course, no one wants to hand it around because it's gross, right? Well, then if you impurify yourself, oh my gosh, you're going to be the same way. Well, I see what she was trying to say. She was trying to maintain that we need to be pure, but the people in there that had messed up or were going to mess up now are just shamed in a really big way. And it was not taken into account of God's pure grace and love for each of us, how he can take that sucker and make it perfect and put the wrapper back on like it's never happened before. And that's what we need to get away from, is shame based on what we were used. And a lot of times I say it all the time, it worked for me, it worked for you. But at times it does. So if you want to make a change, what helps someone make a change? You have to ask three questions. Can I do it? Will it work? And is it worth it? If you can answer those three questions, or the person can answer those three questions, then I guarantee you they can make a change. If they can't answer all three of those questions, it'll be very difficult for anyone to make any change in their life. Because if they feel they can't do it, they won't even try. Will it work? If they don't think it will work, well, they're not going to do it. Is it worth it? If you're going to not eat out and eat beans and rice for an entire year and only save a dollar a year, I guarantee you, they're not going to eat out the rest of the time, right? They're going to enjoy their time. So you have to begin with the end in mind. As you develop plans with your kids, you need to be mindful of where you want to end. What characteristics do you want your kids to have? To do this, you do some battle planning and family meetings, meet individually with your children, create a calm atmosphere, keep a written record of your time with them. In fact, you see this, I have this little book. We have little teeny books for each one of our kids. Every time we meet, I write down what we talked about, our goals and everything they wanted to talk about, we discussed, and that's what we put into this book. So next time we go back to meet together, it's like, okay, how did we do last week? Okay, awesome. Let's put this together. Let's do better this week. And we have these family meetings. This is a dialogue. This is not a preaching session. You're going in there to discuss things with your kids, not tell them what you want them to do. And this has to be individually and without other siblings. After action reviews, just make sure you go back and discuss things with your kids. If there's a critical incident, in fact, my wife learned this the other day on a podcast, and I apologize. If you know who it is, please let me know. But it's the term, try that again. And this is a quick assessment. So what happens if there's a fight or argument in our home, my wife or I will now say, try that again. We'll have a kid come back and say, okay, we're going to try that again. And we'll ask him, what was supposed to happen and what happened? And then what can we do better this time, sustain or improve? What can we do better this time? And then we have them do that. We actually make them try it again. And okay, you yell at them and you storm out, you slam the door. Well, okay, that wasn't supposed to happen. You were supposed to express your opinion, express your emotion that you were going through. And then instead you did that. Now how can we improve? Okay, you're going to use these words, you're going to do it in this tone. Awesome, do that. And then move on from there. That's a great way to develop that characteristic. I'm going to skip this. This is about the using the word of God. It is about the rod. I apologize. I took too much time on other things. All right. And I have a print off of this for you at the very end. Start with godly attributes. What I want you to do is I'm going to give you a little QR code in just a minute. I want you to scan that QR code. And I have this where printable, print this and put it in your visor or in your car. And then you can, when you're driving, especially back east, if you're like me, I drive like an hour a day or 2 hours a day. Put this in your car, put it in the visor when you're driving, open it, look at it, say, okay, teach your children to fear God. Awesome. I'm going to discuss that on my driveway. Okay. Hey, and children do enjoy their spouse. Guess what? The Israelites, when they're raising their kids, they actually discussed very, very intimate things with their kids because they knew that it was so important to satisfy and enjoy each other's spouse. And that is a very important part of marriage. And so these things you can just with a print off, just open it, look at it, and just discuss it with your kids. It's a really cool tool when you're driving around and or spending time around the house. Okay, teach truth. President Nelson's, if you ever been listening, he's been really preaching this really, really hard. Teach pure truth. This is the example I give my kids. If there were three guys in an airplane at 30,000 feet and the airplane's starting to, you know, that, hey, the airplane's going to crash. Well, the first guy puts on a spacesuit and he opens the door and he's like, I got a spacesuit. I'm going to go into space. And he jumps out the airplane. He's going one direction. The next guy, he gets in there. He's like, I'm going to put a swimming suit on. And you're over land. He's like, when I jump out, I'm going to just land water and swim. And he jumps out 30,000 feet. Well, guess what? Something's going to happen. The third guy gets up there. He says, you know what? I got a parachute. I know what's going to happen. He jumps out with a parachute. No matter what those two or how much those two believed that they were going to go to space or land in a pool and swim, it wasn't true. It was just no matter what, how you look at it, this wasn't true. The truth was he was at 30,000 feet and a parachute. Probably a breathing mask oxygen at that point as well. But I appreciate your time. I guess I'm going to open up for questions. If you have any questions, please let me know.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.